Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing Majesty.
Slew of people back there. We're going to welcome everybody. Then we're going to have the Boy Scouts and girls bring the flags up. So welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to see everybody. I want to share a thought with you. This past week we found out that somebody had taken the catalytic converters and the O2 sensors off our van, to the tune of about $1,900 for us. Of course, the insurance is paying for most of it. But what I bring that up so that you'll pray for those that stole our catalytic converters. We need to pray that God will not let them rest until they get right with God. I know that's a tough prayer, but it will be worth to them our praying a hard prayer so that they might find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let's use this thievery, whatever the word is I'm trying to say, for good, and pray for their souls and forgive them for what they've done. God will if he asks. One announcement or two announcements. If everything goes according to the numbers so far, school, you know, the junior high and high school is going back to school this week. If the numbers on COVID stay the same, then we'll start Sunday school back in a couple, two or three weeks, probably in 1st of March. But if the numbers start going up, we're going to continue with these two services like we are. Be praying that the numbers go down so that we can have Sunday school. Don't you miss Bible study like that. Yeah. So be praying about that. Also, Wednesday night, Steve is not going to be here, so we'll not have youth activities, but you're always welcome in prayer meeting. Tonight is Super Bowl night, so I'm giving you guys the night off tonight to watch the game. I know we're on Facebook. We always have church on Sunday nights and never cancel, but here lately we've not been having church on Sunday nights. So I guess I need to explain myself. Stay home and watch the game if you want to. You got the preacher's blessings. Who do you think's going to win? Yep, that's exactly who's going to win, the one with the most points. And I'm not a betting man, but I would bet on this one that the one with the most points wins. I'm going to quit. We're going to welcome everybody. The way we do that is everybody stand, and instead of shaking hands, we just wave. So look around and wave, make everybody feel welcome. Seated.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Heber, those of you who don't know me. My husband is Steve Heber, and he would be here this morning but was unable to be. So pretend like I'm taller and more bearded. Today is BSA Scout Sunday, a Sunday that we set aside every year to recognize the young adults and the adult leadership who participate in scouting. BSA Scout Troops 522 and 5222 this morning are here with us, some representatives from their troops. So you all, as our Hillcrest family, you provide a place for these two troops to meet. You also provide, through your hospitality, a place for Girl Scout Troop 2390 to meet. Did you know that? It's not easy to come by these days, to be honest. Scoutmasters Steve Heber, Liz Battisti, and Stephanie Herendeen, with the help of some wonderful parents, lead more than 30 young people between them weekly. All these young people do many things throughout the year to positively impact our community. They are learning to be leaders, and I'm thankful for the leadership that steps up and spends time with them every week. And I'm thankful for a church that's willing to provide a place for that. You'll recognize some of the young people that are about to come forward and lead us in a flag service. You may see some new faces of the families that are also represented here that participate in scouting. These young people that I said are learning to become leaders, pray for them. It isn't an easy world that they are growing up in. I'm thankful that they're willing, these young people, to contribute their time to build a better future for themselves and for us all. So I'm curious, are there in the room right now any Eagle Scouts? If we do have any, would you please stand? Anyone here who has ever participated in scouting, either as a leader, as a parent, or as a scout themselves, would you please stand? We have several. And now I would like to ask everyone else if you'll please rise for the presentation of the colors.
If everyone could please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in the Christian pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all Christian kind in service and in love. Please join me in the pledge to the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and will hide its words in my heart, that I may not sin against God.
A scout is reverent. Please bow your heads. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you did for us. And we pray that you help guide us and that you protect us from evil and that you help us to help others and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
If everyone will please join me in the scout. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight.
Please follow me in the scout law. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean and reverent. 2.
Now, if the scouts will please be dismissed.
And you may be seated as we continue on with Open My Eyes That I May See. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit.
Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
And if you would please stand as we continue on with Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet's call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day. Ye who are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
And you may be seated.
And he of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived. Of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star and sun. And in that light of life I'll walk, till traveling days are done.
Am I on now? All righty. All our Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are still in here. Would you stand up? Girl Scouts too. Eagle Scouts. If you're a scout, stand up. What a pleasure it was to have you guys today. A real encouragement to the preacher, I'm telling you. You are a bright light in a dark world right now. And I sure appreciate what y'all did. Church, didn't they do good? What a joy it is to see young men and women to grow up loving their country, being here in church. And every week they come and meet here, which makes me realize how important this is. So thank you guys. This is from the preacher. Thank you so much. Tell Heb, thank him too. When Jesus speaks, don't you think we ought to pay close attention to him and do what he says? Before we look at our scripture today, I want to remind you what Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 tells us. And this was in my quiet time this week. And God just has a way of gently reminding you of certain things. Maybe you get caught up on a certain topic or a certain scripture, and then he makes you realize he wrote the whole book. He's got something in here for everybody. So listen to verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 1, and then we'll get to our scripture in just a second. It starts out, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So God is telling us that Jesus speaks to us through this. He doesn't have to go through a prophet. He doesn't have to go through somebody like in the Old Testament. He speaks now through his word. Charles Stanley wrote this: throughout history, God has communicated with humanity in the ways we understand him. He taught Adam and Eve as he walked in with them in the cool of the day. He addressed Moses through the burning bush and Joseph through dreams. Elijah heard his whisper while it took a large fish to get through to Jonah. As I read that in one of my devotionals, I was kind of thinking, what does it take for God to get the preacher's attention? Would it take a burning bush for God to speak to me? Would it take just walking with me hand in hand through the cool of the garden? Or would it take that great big old fish to swallow me for 3 days? Sometimes I feel like it's the fish. I tend to hear but not hear. You know what I mean? We listen, but it goes in one ear and out the other. So with Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 in mind, let's listen to Jesus today as he gives us specific instruction of what he expects from us as believers. And I want to tell you, this is a pretty personal lesson. It's not meant for one individual person that holds an office at our church or any other church, but it could be. In other words, it's not meant for just deacons, but it very well could be for a deacon or two. Or not for the preacher, but it could be for the preacher. It's not for the Sunday school teacher, but it could be for the Sunday school teacher. So you listen to God's word as he instructs us, because he's talking to every one of us, and he's making it really personal as he talks to us. And as he shares his thoughts with us, realize he's talking to you today. He's talking to me. He's already talked to me about this, and I'm going to share his thoughts with you. So let's look at Matthew chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 17 through 28. And the title of this message is Building a Servant's Heart. So Matthew 20, verses 17 through 28, and realize that Jesus is talking to disciples back then, but he's talking to us and to somebody today in this building he's going to talk to. I can promise you that. Starting in verse 17, Matthew 20, verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn Jesus to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." So realize that thought process going into the next thought process. Starting in verse 20, Jesus is starting to instruct us on serving. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to Jesus, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and one on the left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink, and be baptized with the baptism that I am about to be baptized with?" And they said to him, "We're able." Remember, he just described his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what he's talking about. But Jesus answered, "Don't you know what you're looking, asking for?" So verse 23, he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those whom is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, now listen to this attitude, when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but you, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. just as the Son of Man, God did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So the 10 weren't real thrilled with the 2. The 2 probably weren't real thrilled with the 10, and really none of them are going to really like the teaching of Jesus at this very moment. So with Hebrews 12, or Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 in mind, let's listen to what Jesus is teaching us. Let's listen to the Lord's lesson. He's going to talk about servants, giving, and as he talks about these, the word greatness is going to be discussed. So my question to us before we get started is, how do you define the word servant? How do you define the word slave? How do you define the word greatness? Jesus is going to describe these in these verses, and he's going to give us a lesson in being a servant, and as we become a servant, a lesson in greatness. So when you study the word servant, in the New Testament days, Paul called himself a bondservant. Throughout his writings, I'm a bondservant of the Lord. So he's beginning to define the word servant to us. A bondservant was one that served a master. Back then, they were paid. Some of them carried great responsibilities. Remember Joseph. He was a servant to Potiphar. His authority was given to him so that he could have authority over everyone else. So a servant is somebody that serves somebody, but back in the old days, a servant would serve a master for at least 6 years with pay. The seventh year would be called the year of Jubilee, and they'd be given their freedom. Often, the servants would go and serve the master again, volunteer to serve the master. As they did this, they became a voluntary bond servant for life. They would serve that master forever. This is what Jesus is talking about, being a servant. When he gave his life as a ransom for many, that's salvation. And as we get saved, as we invite Jesus into our heart, you should, ought to, some do become volunteer bond servants to the Lord. But again, it's a choice to volunteer or not. He's going to talk about that in regards to greatness. So let's look at the Word of God and see what Jesus is teaching us, addressing us as he teaches us what he demands from us after we get saved. Again, this has been a really hard message to prepare for and to deliver because it has to do with a personal nature. It's going to be speaking directly to your heart. It's going to be speaking to all of us as a joint heart, to our church. And then some is going to go in one ear and out the other. I don't know who's going to hear what, but the Lord does. And this is a message for us. It's also a message for you individually. Our story starts with Jesus knowing, now you need to understand this, that he's going to be crucified. He's going to lose his life on the cross. He knows this, and he's in the last days of his life, and he knows this. And when you're in the last days of your life, the things that you say take on more importance. The teaching takes on more importance. So this evidently to the Lord must be pretty important to us if he's going to teach it the last few days of his life on this earth. So let's look at verses 20 and 21 and see where Jesus begins with this lesson. Matthew 20, verses 20 and 21. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, I'm in the wrong verse there. Verse 20 and 21, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And Jesus asked her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right, one on your left, in your kingdom. Right off the bat, Jesus is having to teach correct false teaching. The disciples did not have what you and I have. They did not have this. They did not know about the death, burial, and resurrection. They thought that Jesus was the deliverer, the Messiah. He was going to set up the kingdom on earth, and they wanted to be part of that kingdom. They wanted to be at his right and left side. They wanted to be in leadership positions on this earth. They had no idea in their hearts and their minds that Jesus would be crucified in just a couple of days. So Jesus had to correct this. You don't know what you're asking for. Oh, yes, we do. No, you don't. They thought they did, but they had it all wrong. So anytime we get sidetracked and we get off on the wrong path of Jesus, he's going to correct us. And he's going to get us, steer us into the right path. So today, he's correcting that false teaching. They stood up and they said, we are willing, we can do it, we're able to do it, or so they thought. Jesus knew better. How could they learn what Jesus was trying to teach them? So keep on going with me and look at verse 28. Out of Jesus' mouth to the people, to his disciples especially, to us, this is Jesus speaking. Verse 28, Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So as he's teaching us, he's telling us something about himself. I did not come to be served. I came to serve. A servant. I came to teach you how to serve. This becomes really personal. Are you willing to serve the Lord or not? Are you hearing what Jesus has to say to you today? I know the years I've been pastoring, I've seen some very good servants, some not so good servants, and no servants from one end to the other. I know that sometimes we volunteer to do some things, but then if it's a yuck thing, I don't know if that describes what I'm thinking, but if it's something that we don't want to do, let him do it. Let him do it. I can tell you this, Jesus, when he's talking to us to be servants, he's not giving us a choice of what we want to do. He's showing us by his example, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. And I came to give my life a ransom, the Bible says, for many, for those that will accept him as their Savior. So think about that in a personal way. Jesus is speaking to all of us. He's speaking to an individual. He's speaking to the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the leaders of the church, the people of the church, the preacher. Jerry, hear what I have to say to you. I did not come to serve, I came to serve. What about you? Am I willing to serve the Lord, as he's saying? Am I willing to pay the cost of serving him? Jesus lets us know, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of God. I'm the heir of this world. I created this world. I and my Father are one. So make no doubt about this. This is God. God Almighty speaking. I came to serve the people. I don't know about you, but that just pierces my heart to know that God, creator of this world, came to serve Jerry. I came to give my life, the 33 years that he was on earth, to serve us. And to show us what he expects from us. That's the hard part. This is so personal to me. Verse 28, Jesus is talking to, strictly to the preacher. This was, in fact, my quiet time, one of my quiet times, where God was speaking to the preacher's heart. Jerry, I called you to serve. I didn't call you to be served. I called you to do certain things, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You just do it. When God speaks to you how do you think you react? No, you get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to do what you want me to. And that takes a rededication of your life. That takes a new attitude. Sometimes we just kind of get away from the Lord. I give my life, Lord, to you. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I'm serving you. And I'm going to say this, don't take it wrong, but I'm just going to tell you what I'm thinking. I don't care what you think. I care what God thinks when it comes to me. You guys aren't going to get me in heaven. You guys aren't going to get me to say, here, somebody, I know I'll meet some of you up there. I hope I meet all of you up there. But you're not going to be the one to say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. It's going to be Jesus Christ. That's who I care about. So keep on reading and look at back verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? And here's what they said, we are able. Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. Sometimes we ask, God, I want to do this. And it's something that's completely outside of our talent that God has given us. It looks good. You know, it's awful easy for a preacher to watch another preacher in his church, and they do this, and they do that, and they do this. And before we know it, we're looking at the preachers, and we're looking at the other churches, and that's the way we're going to do things. Who's that pleasing? Sure not pleasing the Lord, is it? If God has told us to do something, yet we look at them and see the success they're having and seeing all the blessings that God's given them, you don't know what you're asking. Now keep on going and look at verses 25 through 27. Jesus explaining what he's teaching. But Jesus called them to himself. Again, look at this in a personal way. Jesus is calling you to himself. Doesn't that make you feel good to know that Jesus calls you to himself? Don, come over here, Jesus says. Let me talk to you. Not Paula, let me talk to you for a second. Man, that'll make you feel just on top of the world. Jesus, God, can come down and talk to us just face to face, heart to heart, one on one. He also talks to the church like this. But verse 25, Jesus called them to himself. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Greatness requires a person willing to pay a cost. That cost is giving up self in the Lord's eyes. Now, I'm giving you some things that only Jesus can look at us and determine. So hear me with a pastor that loves you. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your spouse. Don't worry about your children. Don't worry about anybody looking at you. The Lord Jesus is looking at you right now. And he's telling us, he's speaking to us about serving. And he's telling us about greatness. And boy, it's awful easy to get puffed up and say, boy, I am so great. I'm the best preacher in this world. I'm the handsomest preacher in the world. I got so much hair, I can comb it each way. But that's not the greatness that the Lord is talking about, is it? It's a humbled greatness. It's not even a vocabulary word that we ought to have pertaining to us. Greatness requires us to give up self. And in self, there's no I in self. I did this. Have you ever been around an I person? I did this, I do this, I'm going to accomplish. I got a big brother. I hope he's not watching this. If he is, he already knows he's an I person. Every time I talk to him, I. Sometimes I just hold the phone out like that as he's talking, and every once in a while I'll nod, yeah, I'm still here. Requires a person to give up something. Look at verse 23. You will indeed drink my cup. What's the cup he's talking about? He's going to be dead. He's going to be crucified. There'll be a cost. We're going to give up our life, whether it be a spiritual life or whether it be the physical life. There's going to be a cost involved in serving him, and he's not pulling any punches, but yet he is giving us the example of himself. This is what I do for you, and this is what I expect from you to do for everybody else. You may die serving me. What a glorious thing that would. If you were had one purpose to accomplish for the Lord and it cost your very life here, can you imagine the jubilation that'd be in heaven as you took your last breath here and went on to be with the Lord because you accomplished the purpose that He gave you to accomplish and you did it willingly?
Yeehaw.
Yeah, that's what I fix to say. It's a yeehaw moment. Buddy, if I get caught doing what God wants me to that last breath, you're going to hear me in heaven. Yeehaw! I mean, I am going to be so happy about it. Never mind. Yeah, buddy. All of us ought to be heaven bound with that yeehaw spirit in our heart. Oh, I'm so looking forward. I'm looking forward to staying here too. Don't hear me wrong. But good gracious, it's going to be such a reward to get to heaven to knowing that we're great in Jesus' eyes and not ours. Remember Zebedee's sons, they're James and John. And Jesus says, you're going to drink the cup that I'm drinking. And I can almost imagine what they're thinking, you know, because they don't have this. They don't have the Easter story. They don't have the death, burial, and resurrection yet. They're just getting a glimpse of it from Jesus. Bless James' heart. He's the first one to be martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. First disciple to be martyred. And John, as he was exiled on the island of Patmos, wrote Revelation. Suffered without for the glory of God. Remember Peter? He was going to be crucified on this earth just like the Lord on a cross. Yet he told the crucifiers, I can't be crucified like my Lord, so turn me upside down and hang me on that cross upside down. These three men and all the others that serve God learned this lesson firsthand. Took them a while to get it. After Jesus left this earth, resurrected, they become the spiritual leaders that God had called them to be. And they wrote this for us through God, the Holy Spirit. And then they teach us how to serve. And yes, we're going to die. You're going to die anyways. You may as well serve the Lord and you're dying. Jesus also teaches about positions in life. If you want to be first, the Bible says you better be ready to serve. This morning in my quiet time, again, Jesus speaking just to the preacher, over in Mark chapter 9, you know, the Lord gave me this message, so when I read this morning, I just figured it was something that I didn't get that I should have got as He was giving this to me. But Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37, lo and behold, the heading over my Bible is, who is the greatest? Now you tell me God doesn't know what's being preached today and knows I'm lacking, so He gives me some more scripture to share with you. So who's the greatest? Then Jesus came to Capernaum, and when He was in the house, He asked them, what was it you were disputing about among yourselves on the road, talking to the disciples as they were arguing back and forth? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. This is the disciples that Jesus was teaching how to be a servant to. They did not understand what they were asking. Make me the greatest. Jesus said, no, you don't know that. You're not ready for it. Oh, yes, we're able. So keep on going in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And then He took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when they taken him in His arms, He said, whoever receives one of these little ones in my name receives me. The first will be what? Last. In Jesus' eyes. As I wrote this and I had to put it down and think about it, what was Jesus speaking about? And I'm back in Matthew chapter 20. So I'm going through my lesson for today. Now look at verse 27 and compare it to Mark chapter 9. Verse 27 says, whoever desires to be first among you let him be your slave. What in the world does that mean? To be a bondservant. As he's teaching us how to serve, it's a voluntary bondservant. It's the one that served 6 years, and the seventh year, the master had to let him go. That was law. The year of Jubilee, we let him go. Yet after 6 years, and he's serving the seventh to get free, he decides he liked it pretty well where he was at. He likes serving this master, so he volunteers for life to serve the master. He becomes a voluntary bond slave to the Lord. That's the lesson that Jesus is teaching, to be a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that's not a very popular term today, but it has nothing to do with our slavery in the United States, the way we treated people. It has to do with a love for the Lord, a sacrifice of life to give back to Jesus and serving him. He teaches us, if we want to be great, then be a servant. If we want to be great, serve others. If we want to be great, be last. I don't know about you, but my goal is to please God. I hope that's your goal. I wrote down four things about greatness. Greatness is serving at the will of God. Well, that rolls off my tongue. That's just so easy to say. Greatness is me serving at the will of God. I used this example this morning as I explained this. If you were sitting in front of the president and he asked you to do something, you'd most likely do it, wouldn't you? You may not like the president, but you respect the office. You do what the president asks you. So why don't we do what God asks us to do? If the president asked us to do the crummiest job there was, and I don't know what that was in the White House, but I know what crummy jobs are around here. And he said, Jerry, I want you to go take that old nasty garbage out. It's been there, it stinks, and I want you to take it to the dumpster, and the dumpster stinks. And I'm thinking, man, we ought to have somebody else around here to do that. I shouldn't do it. You don't have that choice. He asked you to take out the garbage, pick that garbage up, and go do it that fast. So greatness is serving God at his will. Greatness is also not having dominion over people. You don't lord anything over anybody. You're not smarter than anybody else, or you're not greater than anybody else. In fact, you're called to serve them and not be served. We don't exalt ourselves. Look at me. I've got a college education. I got a master's. I got a doctorate. I got two doctorates. I got 14 doctors. I'm so much smarter than you that you do it. That's not what we're talking about. You could have all those degrees and you could have all the experience in the world, yet you humble yourself and say, I'll do it for you. I'll take your load off. I'll do what you need done in a humble spirit. Greatness is serving others. Now, stop and think for a second with me. I'm going to get really personal with you. I'm going to get personal with our church. God has already got personal with me, so I'm going to pay you back. How good are you at serving others? How good are you to ministering to other people in our church? Don't we get busy doing a whole lot of things every day? And if you get to the end of the day, you look back, how often is the most things that you do were for you or your family? How often do we pick up that phone? I was going to do like that, but we don't do that anymore. Flip that phone open and just talk to people. How you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Can I help you do something? Can I encourage you? Be honest. How often do we do that? How often do you get a pencil and paper? You know, I've got a granddaughter that's going to graduate, and they quit teaching her how to write. So she doesn't know how to write cursive. She's 12th grade, doesn't know how to, no, she's 11th grade being 12. She can't write in cursive. So if she's going to do anything, she has to type it and then send a letter. So you can do either way. I use this. If you've ever seen my notes, I write them out. I don't use my computer. And my cut and pasting is like this. I cut and I tape. But if you ever get a note from me, you can't read it. I write so bad. But you'll see it written with this. How often do you send somebody a note just thinking about you? Just wanted to write you a note saying, love you, care for you. I want you to think, Jesus is teaching us how to serve always, 24 hours a day, not just when we feel like it. We've had a lot of sickness in our church in the last year or two, a lot of deaths in our church the last year or two. Surgeries galore. A lot of people have had surgeries, young and old. How often have we fixed dinners and taken over to them? Just say, I know you don't feel like cooking. Jesus is teaching us how to be servants. How often are we actually servants as children of God? Because one day we're going to look the Lord in the eye. And you're going to either hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, or you're not going to hear that. The fourth thing about greatness is we learn from Jesus' example. So he's got a great example that he teaches us of how to be a servant. And it's John chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. And when I read this over and over, it made me cry just thinking about who's doing what. So let me read it to you. John 13, verses 3 through 9. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he's God, that he had come from God and was going to God. So make no mistake, God and Jesus, they know what's going to take place. They know who they are. They're God. They're the creator of this world. They know everything about us. And verse 4, and he rose from the supper and laid aside his garments. He took off his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water to the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Let's pause a minute. Who's washing whose feet? This is God Almighty washing our feet, the disciples' feet. Boy, this was really personal. This is where I started crying. Jerry, I'm washing your feet. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ being in this building right now, right here in this sanctuary? Kathy, come up here and let me wash your feet. That's Jesus speaking. Wouldn't it break your heart? Well, that's what he's teaching us to do for others. How often do we do that kind of stuff? Where am I at? He poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded with. Then he came to Simon Peter, bless Simon, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Can you imagine talking to Jesus like that? And we do. And Jesus said to him, or Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus rebukes Jesus, I need to wash your feet. Or Jesus rebukes Peter, I need to wash your feet, Peter. You want to be great? Be last and serve people. This is what I'm teaching you, Peter,
to serve others, to wash others' feet. This is what I expect, I demand out of you after I'm dead, buried, and resurrected. After I'm out of this world, I want you to wash other people's feet. Keep on going and look at verses 14 through 17. If I then, your Lord, this is Jesus again, this is God. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash, what's it say? One another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than who sent him. What is the lesson here? To wash feet, to serve others. This is what he used. He girded himself with a towel just to wash feet that nobody else wanted to do. Masters and servants. The servants would wash the master's feet. But in this case, the master washes the servant's feet. Kathy, would you come up here? Jesus humbled himself. And he took these feet of Peter's. And I'm taking Kathy's feet. I'm just cleaning them. I'm blessing you through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm doing this because I love you. I want to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That didn't take a whole lot of effort on my part. But I'll remember this moment for the rest of my life. Having the privilege just to bow down before Kathy. You know, Kathy, she's a saint anyways. We appreciate her, everything she does, but that got her nothing. This is what Jesus taught us what to do. To wash each other's feet. I don't know who wrote this. Somebody wrote, we often think about the pinnacle of success as being a great leader or achieving astounding feats. Yet what we read in John 13 was that with all power and authority at Jesus' disposal, he chose to wash the disciples' feet in a beautiful act of service. And the wonderful thing is that he did that in order to help us, to show us. When Jesus models what he wants us to do, it's something that any of us can accomplish. We can serve others. That was not hard on either one of us part. We can do that kind of stuff. I'm not saying take a rag and go to somebody's house and wash their feet, but if Jesus tells you to, you better do that. The world may not put a premium on what you do and may not even look down on you for it. But when you are lovingly serving others in Jesus' name, you are pleasing the only one who counts, and that is God himself. So don't fret when you're asked to complete a task that appears below you. Instead, think of Jesus serving faithfully and count on the fact that when you humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, he will exalt you. He will call you great in his sight. Good night. I love my Lord. I hope that you have Jesus Christ in your heart today. We always offer an invitation. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you've never said, Lord, I need you in my life, I ask you to forgive my sins and come into my life. If you've never done that, I'm going to invite you to come forward in just a second and just take my hand and say, preacher, I don't know what you were talking about today, period. And that's okay. I'll explain some of it to you, and I'll tell you how to invite Jesus into your heart. The rest, we need to make a decision for the Lord Jesus. We need to get to the point where we would recommit our life to him. Lord, I've not been very good at this. I'm not a very good servant, Lord, and I need to be. I want to be. So starting today, Lord, I would like to serve you better. All of us can do that. all of us can do whatever God asks us to do. He'll never, ever ask us something that he's not going to help us to accomplish. His power, his grace. So we're going to invite you to come forward. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, you come on forward and I'll pray with you. So Tamara, come on up. Wayne, come on. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you need to come forward, I'd love to pray with you. Please don't say no to Jesus. If he speaks to your heart, do what he asks you to do. Father Almighty, thank you for this day. God, your blessings, your love and grace. I thank you for each one here. I pray your blessings on them for the rest of the day, Lord, that it would be a time of worshiping and a time of resting in you. Father, if we have company over this afternoon, help us to be a good example of who Jesus Christ is. And I pray, Lord, for open times, Lord, where we could share our Lord with somebody. Father, we sure love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name.